From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the third day of June 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Aaron Hager, weed scientist from the University of Illinois, will join us to talk about weed control in this late planting season. We're late planting, but the weeds are growing, and they're pretty much on time. And we'll also take up the weather forecast to see how that weed control can be used and put on. That with Mark Russo at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. And we'll take a look at the cash grain situation, too, with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to take a look at the marketplace and discuss what happened on this Monday afternoon. Hey, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate that, Kurt.
Well, you're quite welcome, Todd. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, overnight I was thinking, hey, wheat, 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 and it was pulling everything along with it. The first part remained, but everything else settled back. What happened today?
Well, wheat definitely, hopefully, going to be the leader here and help pull some other commodities with it, but you know, looking at wheat conditions, too wet in the western wheat belt here. We'll see how the conditions report unfolds this afternoon on it. Expecting to be about 59% good to excellent for the total wheat crop. Then, too, they're kind of watching the Russian weather forecast. We're seeing a situation where world wheat values continue to stay firm on world conditions. Not only Russia, but Australia too continues to, you know, be bombarded with some dry weather. So it's just an ongoing story in through here where our wheat could be a little competitive on the world market. Today's high technically has been stalling out, so that's a key to try to get this July wheat above this 525, 526 area to start the next leg up if it's in the cards.
What do you see for this afternoon's weekly crop progress report?
Great question. I mean, man, I don't know how you're going to get a real accurate number. When you drive through the countryside, you'll see corn that's up, looks fairly good. You'll see corn just put in the ground, and you'll see some fields that's not been touched yet. So it's highly variable. But the trade's kind of dialed in of a range of corn, 68 to 76% complete as a nation, with average guess coming in at 71% versus 58% last week. Soybean progress report, expectations are 39 to 45% complete as a nation. Average guess is 42% versus 29 last week. You know, this 70, 80, 85%, you know, the issue is going to be the last 10%, and that's going to be the key there. Past experiences is they'll go ahead and show the crop fairly well planted. Where they'll make the adjustments down the road is in harvested acres. So this grain market, corn and beans both, is going to be an ongoing process. For those participating, you got to have some staying power. And also look at some very wide volatile trading ranges, because it's going to be very touchy here for the next month or two yet. So we'll see what the report says this afternoon and kind of go from there.
Last week, the most serious problem spots in every place is behind were South Dakota, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. A couple of other states in there, too, but those were kind of the big dogs in the race. Do you expect any of them to catch up very much?
There might be some progress here in Illinois. We're getting the drier ground in, but we're going to continue to see some wet areas just continue to struggle. You know, especially river bottoms, they're gone in most areas. Now we're starting to see levees break in some areas. That's pretty gone. But Illinois made huge progress. I don't know if it's going to reflect on today's report, but a lot of guys were going here yesterday, last night, and still going. That'll probably be reflected on next week's report, and they're probably already trying to anticipate, you know, how far along we get here in the next 2 days. And hopefully, if it's your home field, hopefully you get her in.
Prevent plant dates have passed in the Dakotas, Minnesota, Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska. Will they take much prevent plant, do you think?
Boy, that varies a lot. That's a toss-up. In past history, there's been 3 to 4 million acres. I would assume, if we don't make a whole lot of headway this week, prevent plants is in the cards. These prevent plant meetings have just been wall-to-wall with attendees just trying to figure out their options. And there is just tons and tons of moving parts to this. You just have a whole list. Is my chemicals on, or am I going to switch, or do I have a GMO contract already signed? I mean, it's fairly stressful. And like I've been telling a lot of guys, you need to find some 14, 15-year-old kid to put an app on a phone to plug all these moving parts in here so you can push a button and decide, because it's just not your farm. It goes from farm to farm and field to field. So, it's quite a bit. But prevent plant, never before has Illinois been in that situation. We're here. It's not going to go away. This is not like we're hot and dry and get a crop-saving rain. This is a situation where we've done irreversible damage, and it's going to have to really cooperate real soon to avoid a large prevent plant number.
Well, it's not an app on your phone done by a 13 or 14-year-old, but the professors here on campus, the Farm Doc Daily team, have put together put these numbers in tool that's connected to the Farm Doc Daily website. And if you go there, scroll down from farmdocdaily.illinois.edu, and you'll find Prevented Planting 2019 Market Facilitation Program Payments, Disaster Assistance Payments, and Price Dynamics. That's an article that Gary Schnitke has put together along with a couple of other folks, and there is a link to that spreadsheet. It's just an Excel spreadsheet that you can download. It's a Fast Tools from the University of Illinois. Now, a couple of other things. So we put this all together, and everything seems like it should be bullish, yet the marketplace is saying, I'm not convinced yet. Let's wait it out. Why is that the case?
Well, we're so accustomed to your yard turning brown and the market just taking off and going, because the public visually sees that, and there's a lot of buying interest in it. Whereas wet weather, it seems like, you take, 83, was up and it drowned, but came back down. And in 93, the great flood year, the market really didn't take off until we started to see the levees break in August. For some reason, wet weather just takes time. And I feel over time, the market will reflect it. And you need sort of a gradual, steady climb higher market. The market is a little overbought right now. When you look at the momentum indicators, they've rolled over and through here. The RSI index is up there. So you keep this market together and have it in orderly fashion, we're due to consolidate for a few days. We still have a lot of chart gaps underneath the marketplace. So it has moved higher, but with the damage you see in your backyard, it feels like it should be 5, 5.5. And if this damage stays that way, it'll eventually get there, but it's just going to take some time.
And at this point, the managed money has come out mostly of its shorts, I think, in much of the marketplace. Not all of it. Beans in particular, maybe not. But that lifted the marketplace, and we're, I guess, at this pause time is what you're telling me.
Yeah, as far as the corn, I think they're just about neutral. They were light sellers. They were sellers about 4,000 corn contracts going into midday. Why they don't bite on this bullish news and so forth, that's kind of a mystery right now. They probably know something we don't know, which they've been pretty well on target here for a while, except for this last move up and through here. But the market stays up here. The moving averages are going to continue to roll up and through here. And if they're a moving average follower, I think they'd be buyers on pullbacks in here to get positioned right.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it a lot.
Very good. Take care.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online. Listen to us on demand at WILLAG.org. That's willag.org, our website. You can also find us in iTunes, the Google Play Store, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and the NPR One app. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Aaron Hager is here. He's weed scientist here on campus at the U of I. I got a kick this morning out of the meeting you had with the commercial ag folks, and you said, you know, the best thing about what we see in the field at the moment is, well, the yellow weed is kind of pretty.
Yeah, that's one of the few good things we have to report in terms of weeds so far this year. Is butter weeds in flower does add a nice splash of yellow color to a somewhat otherwise mundane landscape around the state. But unfortunately, that also means that that plant is very mature and will be setting seed here very, very soon.
Is it true that tillage probably is the best option at this point and chemical control is a much tougher problem for weeds?
I think right now the important thing to remember is that many of these winter annual species, they're very close to ending their life cycle. So chemically, it's going to be very, very difficult. And we have a lot of our summer annuals that are up now, water hemp, giant ragweed, a lot of mare's tail left in the state, and unfortunately, I think in many instances, tillage prior to planting is going to be more consistent than a lot of different herbicide or herbicide combinations that we can do. I mean, when you get mare's tail that's 1.5-2 feet tall, sort of all bets are off from a chemical standpoint. There's a lot of variability that we can see in mare's tail control, even on smaller plants, you know, 4 or 5 inches tall. So, you know, we're in a bit of uncharted territory here, but again, you know, from a good efficacy control standpoint, you know, 1 or 2 tillage passes before planting, I think, is going to be much, much more consistent than any herbicide recipe that we come up with right now.
Can we talk about dicamba and soybean just a little bit? Last year, half of the soybean crop in the whole of the United States was dicamba ready, relatively speaking. There are some dates, for instance, June 30 in Illinois, where you can't spray dicamba. This could, I suppose, cause a problem for producers.
The June 30 date is one that the Department of Ag set, I think, back in February or March. And indications that we've had from Springfield is that they really don't plan to move that date, at least not at the present time. So there are several things that farmers who are going to plant dicamba soybean can do well before that June 30 date, because really the overall success of a dicamba system is not just about spraying dicamba, it's about having no weeds by the end of the growing season. So things like, again, working ground, making sure whether chemically or through tillage that there's no weed vegetation that's growing in the field before we put any seed in the ground, that gets us off to a good start. We really can't really back away from using residual herbicides, even in dicamba-based systems. Appropriate rate for soil type, for calendar date, I think is going to become more important here over the next couple weeks as well. And then you have up until June 30th. So you can spray the dicamba at any point up until June 30th. The beans don't really even have to be out of the ground. You could use dicamba as part of a burn down for something like controlling mare's tail. And in some cases, you can actually get some short residual weed control of broadleaf species by dicamba once it gets into the soil profile. So when you make that foliar application close to the end of June, for example, if you wanted to add another residual herbicide in there to try to get you through several more weeks without any weed competition, when you can't spray another or make another dicamba application, that's just another thing that we can consider and recommend.
Speaking of out of the ground, there will be a lot of planting for both corn and soybeans that's still going on. A lot of herbicide applications have to happen at that same time. There is some gap usually between when things can be sprayed and when that crop gets up. You're a little concerned, I think, about what that gap looks like today as opposed to what's on the label.
I think one thing, you know, related to that, Todd, that we'll mention here is that most of our residual herbicides that we use in soybean can be applied after the soybean seeds have actually been put into the ground. But keep in mind that with the warmer temperatures, soil temperatures that we'll be planting into, that very likely the soybean are going to be able to get out of the ground in a very short period of time. So say hypothetically, if you know, label statements say, you know, maybe within 3 or 4 days of planting, it probably in a year like this would be a very good idea. If we're planning to use a residual herbicide that could cause some pretty significant damage to any emerged soybean, the EO4 sitting at that 2 or 3 or 4 day window after planting, probably wouldn't hurt to go out and take a quick look just to ensure that there's no vegetation that has poked its way out of the ground yet.
And finally, what's the implication of this year for next season?
One thing that I think should be pretty obvious to folks with the delay, and we talked earlier about the winter annual populations, there's a tremendous amount of weed seed from the winter annual species that will be going into the soil seed bank this year. we're standing here talking at the early part of June. I'm sure nobody really wants to think this far ahead, but perhaps something like a fall weed control program could be something that, you know, farmers would need to think about more so this fall as compared with preceding falls, again, just because of the weed seed load that's taking place this year. Well, at some point, we'll have to be a little bit cautious, too, about our rotational intervals as we get into June here. Some of our post-applied soybean herbicides can have fairly lengthy rotational intervals to next year's corn crop. So all these things we're going to have to give equal consideration as we would in a normal year, and even a little bit more consideration in a year like this.
Thanks so much.
You bet.
Aaron Hager is a weed scientist at the University of Illinois. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. We're joined by Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago. Mark, thanks for being with us. Let's start with this week. Farmers in some parts of the Midwest, particularly here where I happen to live in this eastern Illinois area, have been able to move a bit over the last several days. Is that going to close up as a planting window shortly?
Oh, well, what we're seeing here with the pattern for this week, certainly less active relative to what we've seen in recent weeks, which has been, you know, one of one of the wettest Mays that we've seen on record, not only here in Illinois, but, you know, for many states here in the central U.S. As we go through this week, there will continue to be some rain systems coming through, but the activity will be more scattered and lighter versus what it has been. Now, specifically from now through Friday, most of the heavier rainfall will be further to the south, so in areas of like southern Illinois, southern Iowa, southern Indiana, which had been one of your really drier areas that missed out. So, and for a place like northern Illinois, which had been one of the wettest areas, activity here again looks more scattered and light. So, you know, in the net, it does look like a better pattern here. Granted, not fully open, not drier than normal, but better than what it has been here in recent weeks for planting progress.
And if you get a little bit further out, does it stay that way?
We do think it stays that way, with the overall upper level pattern becoming more in this zonal flow or west to east flow as we go through the next couple of weeks, rather than it being high amplitude, which it had been the past couple of weeks. With that more zonal flow, activity will be a bit more scattered, less in coverage here, and magnitude especially in particular. And if anything here, the bias of your higher totals look to be more southern Midwest versus northern Midwest. And so, again, not going the total opposite into any kind of drier pattern, but certainly a more favorable pattern here, even continuing into next week as well.
Courtesy of what? The jet stream and tropical depression, maybe turning into a hurricane, I suppose, named Barry. Are those the two things that are working together?
Those are the primary components here. And I guess the one thing to watch is actually with that tropical system in the southwest Gulf of Mexico. Well, it could become a tropical storm. It doesn't appear that conditions are ripe for any intensification in like hurricane strength, but it will have an impact here on the Midwest as that moisture actually moves into the Delta, which had been drier here of late. And again, some of the southern Midwest does get influenced and will be receiving rains in even some, you know, some moderate, maybe a few areas heavier rains here coming up with that. But the highest totals look to be further south in the Delta, as well as areas of the southern plains, which actually brings me up to one last item here, is that the southern plains hard red winter wheat, as well as the Midwest winter wheat here, just with the incredible wetness, that is certainly an item of concern here for both quality and production.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. Let's turn our attention now to the cash grain market. We're joined by Greg Johnson. He is at the Andersons. Hey, good afternoon to you, Greg. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd. Thanks.
I want to talk about basis, because it looks like it's popped just a little bit over the last couple of days. And I'm wondering a couple of things, just exactly what it's related to, because I think most are going to say that it's probably just looking forward into the new crop and saying, hey, that's not going to be here. But I'm not so certain that's what you're going to tell me entirely.
I think there's about three things that are contributing to the improved basis. One is the river system. The barges are not able to move up or down the Mississippi in a lot of places. End users down at the Gulf were counting on those barges. Now that they don't have that, they have to go back into the market and buy truck or rail market corn. So that's helping the rail basis out tremendously here in the short run. Now, you could argue somewhere down the road when the river system does get back up and running, those barges will go down there, and then they won't have to buy as much corn because that corn will be down there already for their July-August shipments, let's say. But in the short run, it's definitely friendly basis. The other thing that's going on is with the delay in planting, farmers are getting a little bit more bullish, not willing to sell as much, and so you've got a slowdown in the supply. And then finally, I think you've got some end users figuring that maybe this year's quality is better than taking a chance on next year's quality. And so you've got some people buying old crop corn basically as a hedge for eventual new crop usage. So those three things all are helping out old crop basis at this point.
What's your expectation over the next couple of weeks?
Until we get the crop planted and off to a good start, I think farmers are going to continue to be very hesitant sellers. They will reward the market on rallies, especially on old crop corn. But until the new crop corn is in and up, I think they're going to be a little hesitant to sell new crop corn. And I think we've seen that with even with this rally, the old crop corn is moving, but the new crop corn movement and sales are a little slow.
I got about 25 seconds. Is wheat going to lead the way out?
I don't know that wheat's going to lead the way out. I really think there's a better story in corn. There's worldwide wheat. We need to get the world supply down to a point to where U.S. exports are competitive again, and I don't think we're just quite there yet.
Hey, thanks so much, Greg.
All right, thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons. That's the Closing Market Report for Monday.